Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Another season of Advent is coming to an end. Once again, we have journeyed through this brief portion of the church year in preparation for Christmas. Each of our Sunday readings this year have led us to reflect on this time of year as we ready ourselves for Christ's coming to us. For us here today, the coming of Christ that we are longing for and waiting for is the coming of Christ on the last day, his second coming. Jesus' triumphal entry, which we heard about the first Sunday in Advent, showed us the type of welcome of which Jesus is truly deserving. John the Baptizer's ministry out in the wilderness, we heard about the second week, was a necessity for those who awaited the coming Christ. Repent for the forgiveness of your sins. And John's questions in week 3 about Jesus' first coming and all that he had come to do give us the certainty that Jesus is who he says he is, and that his promise to return to all of his faithful on the last day will come true. Even the readings at the close of our last church year, right before Advent, are in place to set us up for Christ's return, his second coming. There we hear the readings from Revelation and from the Gospels of Jesus' predictions of the fall of Jerusalem and then subsequently the end of the world. Truly frightening topics when we think about them. But we need not fear these things uncontrollably, because the Lord of the last day is our Savior. His blood covers over our sin because we have been baptized in his name. So the Father in heaven looks and sees the Lord Christ when he peers at us. The mercy of Jesus Christ will overshadow us on that great and terrible day, a day whose coming will be we know not when. It will come like a thief in the night. It will be a surprise to us all when it does happen, and yet it is nothing that should catch us unprepared. Christ Jesus has given us the very means to properly prepare for his return, the hearing of his gospel, and the distribution and reception of his sacraments. In the meantime, we wait. We know Christ will return, but we know not when. It will be sudden, unlike his first coming. For Jesus Christ had as his first coming an announcement in advance that Mary and Joseph were given notice about 9 months before when the Messiah would arrive and the Savior's face would be revealed. And what joy must have filled Mary's heart after hearing the word of the angel and allowing that word to sink in. The long wait was over. For thousands of years, from the time of Adam and Eve's first fall into sin, God's people had been longing for the coming of the Messiah. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel, was the prophecy from Genesis. That first prophecy of the Christ's coming shaped the future of God's people. They believed that God would fulfill his promise. They did not know when. Generation after generation waited and waited without reward. And then God went silent. But at last the silence was broken. God commissioned his angel, Gabriel, to descend from heaven down to the earth to a village called Nazareth, where many thought nothing good could be. Of all the people throughout all the world, only one had been designated by God for the bittersweet role of being the Christ's mother. Gabriel then appeared to the Virgin Mary in her home. He spoke to her a grand greeting and bid her not to fear. God had chosen her to bear inside her womb a son whose name would be Jesus. He would be great and would soon be called by many around as God's own son. Mary's son, this Jesus, would be given the throne of his father, David. He would reign over the house of Jacob forever. And this would be more than just an amazing man. This would be the man, the second Adam, who would do what the first Adam did not. Jesus, conceived and born sinless, would live sinless in the face of all the world's and the devil's fiercest temptations. His own perfect life would be sacrificed, not for others who were great like him, but for the likes of you and me, sinners and enemies of God. Bittersweet indeed, to be the mother of Jesus, the Son of God Almighty, as your son named Jesus. He would be great in the world and its ruler forever, but he would also hang and die on a cross, enshrouded in total darkness, completely forsaken by God, his Father. What a set of 9 months that must have been to begin thinking about all the Messiah would face in his life as the lessons Mary had learned from her own father came flooding back to her. They took on a whole new light as the coming Messiah was no longer some distant figure, but her very own flesh and blood. 9 months until looking into the face of God in the God-man was a constant in her life. Even then, the cries of repent at this baby's arrival would not sound for 30 more years. And his gruesome death on the cross would not come for another 3 years after that. Mary still, at that point, would not be ready for that day. Nor the disciples who had spent 3 years training with Jesus. They could not see or figure out what was coming, nor did they want to. How true for our world today. The truth is out there. It is written down in the Bible as clear as day in a public setting for all to access. The Lord of hosts, of armies, will make his return in his own glory, in the glory of the company of the angels, in the glory of his Father. It is no secret that Christ will return on the last day and that all people will be judged. No one will escape the sight of our God. Sadly, many do not want to hear the truth or see the truth. They turn a blind eye and a deaf ear away from these words. They want what they want, and they reject all else to their own folly. We are not immune to similar temptations. The old evil foe continues to target the baptized of Christ. Satan appeals to that old Adam still in all of us. He wants each of us to give in to those sinful desires of the flesh instead of crucifying them, as St. Paul teaches us. And Satan wants us to give in to those desires often, not merely once. Doubt is readily cast upon all Christians who know that they are in this world and struggle not to be of the world. When we see the hurt and the suffering all around us, our faith is shaken, tested most certainly. Will we interpret these tragedies as God's inability to help, or worse, his unwillingness to help? Or will we realize how dire our need really is, how much help we truly need, and turn all the more readily to the only God who can save us all. All doubts, all worry about God's willingness and ability to help have an answer. The emptiness we try to fill by satisfying our flesh has a solution. The answer, the solution to our struggles, our sins, our salvation is given at Christmas, the first coming of Jesus Christ, and is seen most clearly of that same Christ on the cross. As the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, the willingness of God to help, to act, to save is revealed. That God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, would send His only begotten Son to die as the Savior of sinful mankind is solid proof of His undeserved love that He has for each and every one of us and all people throughout the world. While this truth does not instantly take away the problems that we face in this life, it has secured for us the life still to come. That life is revealed on the last day, the second coming of that same Jesus Christ, the crucified one, the resurrected one, who sits at the right hand of God. What we have waited for and yearned for will come to pass on that day. Like a thief in the night, in the twinkling of an eye, and in the grand light of the first coming of Christ at Christmas, we eagerly await, bathed in the forgiveness of sins, for the dawn of Christ's second coming. Amen. Now the peace that does pass all human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Christ. Amen.